evening, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 15. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll talk for just a few minutes here this evening and trust that it might turn into preaching. But if not, it'll be in the hands of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 15 and verse number 13. I want to talk to you about the evil and the ruin of sin in these few passages here. Verse 13, Isaiah 14. For thou hast said in thine heart. Now, this is has reference to Lucifer, that fallen angel, that rebellious angel. It says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now the whole evil and ruin of sin is that man turned from God's will to do his own will. Lucifer said in Isaiah 14 and 13, I will. Notice that. He says, I will. Five times in these passages that I read to you, he insisted on his own will. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says, you will or you shall be as God. This Lucifer said to Eve, ye shall be as God. In other words, the problem with this generation, as well as every other generation, is their will. Your will and my will, this is what's important. Isn't that right? It's our will that's important. Lucifer said five times, I will. Now the redemption of Jesus Christ has no reason, no object, and no possibility of success except the restoring of man, fallen man that is, to do God's will. Your will versus God's will. The object and success of the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ is restoring fallen man to do the will of God. I guess that it was for this that our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And then in another place he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. So, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now listen to me. To receive Christ Jesus as our Lord is to bow to His will. That's what I've been saying over and over and over and over. It's not making a decision. It's not this commitment. But it's surrender. That's what it is. It's a surrender. To receive Christ as our Lord is to bow to His will. To walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk with Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. To plan my day, for you to plan your day, is to say, if the Lord will. We shall do this and we shall do that. To pray is to ask anything according to His will. So, you see what I'm talking about? I'm saying here this evening that this whole business, the whole Bible business, from beginning to end, is being brought into subjection to the will of God. Being restored, fallen man being restored into the favor of God by being brought into God's will to do His will. Until that takes place, you see, we're all in what I say all the time, total rebellion against God. As long as it's our will and not my will be done, as long as it's our will, we're in rebellion against God. May God help us this evening to see that if we're to receive Christ as Lord, we must bow to His will. My soul, you and I who are believers in Christ, who have been changed in a twinkling of an eye, who have been translated from the kingdom of Lucifer into the kingdom of God's dear Son, who hath had our wills subdued and brought into conformity with His will, had our sins forgiven, received the very nature of God implanted in our souls, given a desire to love Him over and above everything else in this world, given a faith that would send us or give us strength to go to the gallows if necessary for Christ's sake. My, what debtors we are to Him. What debtors we are to God. We that were in total rebellion against God. He who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will hath broken us, broken our will, and His will becomes the supreme desire of our lives. We're debtors. Turn with me then to Luke chapter 15. Let me read a passage to you. In Luke chapter 15, verse number 5. I said Luke 15. I meant Luke 16. Luke 16, verse number 5. We're not concerned with the first part of this verse. It's the last statement of the fifth verse that we're concerned with this evening. It says, "How much owest thou unto my Lord? How much owest thou unto my Lord?" When we realize our total debt to Jesus Christ, we shall again be on the same joyful path that the apostles took as a small group, going out into this hostile world, facing that hostile world with the gospel of Christ. We'll join men and women like the Pledgers, the Berkeys. Brother Milton Howard, those brethren that went into Mexico and the Yucatan, these faithful servants who have willingly give up comfort, security, prestige to go to the ends of the earth for Him who died for them. When we realize what debtors we are unto God in Christ, understanding all that He has overcome in our lives, subdued us, and brought us unto His Son, we're able to answer somewhat that question. How much owest thou, my Lord? How much do you owe the Lord? I'd like to ask that question to all of us. And I'd like to say this in light of it. If God is worthy of our praise and our worship, and you and I really think and believe that He is Lord of heaven and earth, I insist then, now keep this in mind, these are conditional statements. I said, if God is worthy of our praise and our worship, and we really think that He is Lord of heaven and earth, then I must insist this. I insist that you acknowledge Him by a sincere and faithful worship, or else deny that He is God at all. What do you think of that? We're debtors to Him. Either we are or we're not. Either we're debtors to God or we're not debtors to Him. Either we've been delivered from the wrath to come or we haven't been delivered. And if we have been delivered, we've been delivered by Him and Him alone. And if that be the case, He is Lord of heaven and earth. And He is worthy of our praise and our service. He's worthy of glory. All that we can give Him and all the praises that we can issue forth from our heart, He's worthy. But if He's not all of this, then instead of honest, sincere, and faithful worship, then men and women ought to deny that He's God at all. This half-hearted, insincere, lukewarm, indifferent attitude of most modern church members is certainly unworthy of His great glory. How much owest thou, my Lord? How much? What are you owing? Now you know whether you owe Him anything or not. You know, if you've ever seen yourself, if you know what you really are, this is what it's all about. If we know what we are, as Pat McGinnis prayed here not so long ago, he said, help us to remember the rock from which we was hewn. Help us to remember our fallen state. Help us to remember where we once was. Help us to remember that we're a fallen people. Our ancestors are fallen. And as far back as we go, we find nothing but ruin and degradation in the stock that we trace back. There's nothing good in us, nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. We're nothing. Less than nothing. We're vanity. Less than vanity. Less than nothing. We're less than the grasshoppers on the earth. We're not fit for the beasts of the earth to trot upon. the beasts of the earth ought to cry out and groan within themselves, because they must trod upon the dust in which we're made of. We're so unworthy and so ungodly. In regard to that which He's done for us, I say, brethren, that most church members, I'm not speaking to the majority of this congregation. Some, I'm sure, there's some here that you need to hear what I'm saying. There are several that's not here that needs to hear what I'm saying. They need to be confronted with the reality of this. If they're debtors unto God, they need to answer this question: how much owest thou my Lord? They need to be told that this lukewarm attitude, this indifferent attitude, is unworthy of His great glory. So if you and I this evening, if we're joined together now and actually are able to say that the gospel of salvation by grace is the gospel that gives God all the glory and is the only gospel that can meet the poor sinner's need, then we ought to insist along with those that have went before us, who have been faithful to Him and who have insisted in their testimony and in their preaching. We ought to insist that everyone who names the name of Christ be personally identified with this gospel, or else deny it completely and walk with those who glory in the flesh and in the flesh alone. Ought to do that. Either identify with it wholeheartedly or deny one of the two. Boy, this is straight talk, but it's necessary. If we say that we're the children of God and that Jesus Christ has redeemed us by His life and by His death and by His intercessory work, even now, I insist that if you believe it, that you publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and live a life at home and in the business world and in the social world that will indicate to your associates and to everyone that you come in contact with that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, or else deny any association with Jesus Christ and take your chances with the atheists and the infidels. Is that right? That's right, brother. That's the truth. God help me, that's the truth. We need to do it. Now, one verse of Scripture, now I quit. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But listen to Joshua. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, "I've counted the cost. But he said the cost, the sacrifice, the price that I must pay is nothing compared to the glory that we shall enter into when this world is on fire. The crying need of this generation is a people who mean business for God. I mean, who will go all out? Who are not identified with this insincere, lukewarm, indifferent attitude that is so prevailing in our religious world at this time? The attitude that is so prevailing and is so popular is the attitude of this bubbling over Christian, bubbling over. Superficial attitude. Just because a man dresses like a Christian and talks like a Christian doesn't make him a Christian. What we see today is what? It's all bubble and enthusiasm. It's all heat, but there's no light. It's all heat, but there's no light. We need some men and women and boys and girls who means business for God, who understands the answer to that question, how much owest thou my Lord? We need some folks that really, every one of us, from the preacher, the length and breadth of the congregation, we need men and women and boys and girls who will face up to that question, who can honestly answer it and say, I know that I have been redeemed. I know the price that was paid for my redemption. I know my condition prior to my conversion. I know that I was a hater of God. I know that. I know that I was worthy of going to hell. And I know that I'm worthy of going to hell right now in my own self, in my own flesh. But I know, by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ hath given me repentance, and hath given me faith. And I am what I am by the grace of God. I have nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. Heaven's my home, and it's all because of Him and what He's done. And all the honor, and all the glory, and all the praise, and all the adoration, and all the worship belongeth to Him, because He and He alone hath met the sinner's need. We need men and women who know something about what I'm talking about and do business for God. Quit fooling around. It all boils down to either get in or get out. That's what it boils down to. That's what people need to be told nowadays. Either get with it, either personally and publicly identify with it, or deny it. Either personally identify, associate with the gospel of grace that alone can meet the sinner's need, or deny it altogether and go with them. Go over with them. Lock, stock, and barrel, who believe that man must do something to justify himself before God. Go with them. God help us. Answer the question. What owest thou unto my Lord? Well, you're a believer. If I'm a believer, we owe him all. We owe him all. We owe him every drop of sweat. We owe him every hair that's on our head. We owe him every drop of blood that rolls, that flows in our veins, we owe it to Him. Body, soul, mind, and spirit, we owe it to Him. He's worthy. Either He's worthy or He's not worthy. Thanks be to God, He's worthy. He's worthy of it. Well, let's come and